This is Pro Business Colorado with your host, Dave Tabor, on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Welcome to Pro Business Colorado on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I'm Dave Tabor, and this is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. It's a show about spirit, the spirit of opportunity, created by people who start and grow businesses right here in Colorado. I created the show because I get jazzed talking with dynamic people, with interesting businesses, and with subject matter experts who think outside the box. All my guests are people who inspire me and who can inspire you and offer ideas to help us succeed in business. I keep saying it, there is a shift going on here more and more. When people think about a great place to start and grow a company, they think of Colorado. And my guest, Bart Larang, is nodding already. That's good. Hey, Bart is with me. He's going to be with me for the first hour of the show today. He's with Full Contact. Thanks for joining me, Bart.
Happy to be here, Dave.
I'm glad you're already agreeing with me. That's going to be a great, I can tell it's going to be a great show. But this idea that, you know, Colorado has been considered like one of the best of the tier two cities for startups and entrepreneurs and so forth. And I contend that in fact, it is the number one very best place to have and start to grow a company if you've got the right sort of mindset, the right approach for doing business here in the state and for the kinds of talent and the kind of excitement and energy that Colorado has to offer. So that's my soapbox. It's a weekly soapbox, and I'm glad more and more of you are jumping on it with me. So if you have a business, you're starting a business, you're thinking about a business, or you're simply fascinated by business topics, stick around to meet great Colorado entrepreneurs, business leaders, and business experts. It's true, even if you haven't started yours yet, everyone has a business in them, and today's show is going to be great. I've already introduced, briefly anyway, Bart Larang of Full Contact, and we're going to talk about his business, more about that in a moment. First, you've heard of OtterBox, the world-famous cell phone case company. OtterBox was started in 1988 in a Fort Collins garage. You've heard the stories about HP being started in a garage. Well, so was OtterBox. They've built it into a global business based on hard work, risk-taking, and listening to customers. And OtterBox's CEO, Jim Park, is going to be joining me in the second hour of today's show, and we're going to talk about starting small and becoming a dominant international product, all kinds of things, too, around the brand, of protecting the brand, patents, protecting ideas, and all that kind of thing. It's going to be a great conversation. First, though, in hour one, I'm going to be joined, as I mentioned, by Bart Larang, who's the CEO of Full Contact, a contact management platform that raised $25 million in venture capital last August, with the aim to be the contact management platform for all the people and companies in the world. Not a small commitment, is it?
No, not small at all, but, you know. Yeah, got to go big.
Dream for sure. And we're going to talk with Bart about what he's doing with $25 million and lots more. Be sure this podcast or this program will be available via podcast at soundcloud.com/ProBusinessColorado or straight from the ProBusinessColorado.com website. It'll be available on Monday. We've had tremendous shows in the past, and they are all available, again, at soundcloud.com/ProBusinessColorado. And, of course, you can hear tons of podcasts online, all kinds of business shows online. What makes Pro Business Colorado such a fun podcast is that all of my guests are people who have started and grown companies right here in Colorado. So some of them, many of them you've heard of. Others you're going to be glad to know about. So, again, soundcloud.com/ProBusinessColorado. For example, last week I hosted Christian Lefer of Yippie Kaye Nonprofit Solutions and Vic Ahmed of the Innovation Pavilion. And then in hour two, I had a great conversation with Andy Boyd of Dovetail Solutions, all about what people can learn about the communications and the messaging of the last election. And we kept it nonpartisan. I'm sure some listeners were upset because we said one thing bad about one and one thing bad about the other, but it was really a fascinating conversation about, like, what can you learn about slogans and about communication style and about posturing for strength, all those things, and some really fun and interesting lessons could be learned from those candidates. So I've had some other great shows in the past. I'll talk about those a little later as well. But here we go for this morning. Enjoy this Saturday morning with me, Dave Tabor, and Pro Business Colorado till 10 o'clock. You know, when I owned my own company after running hard all week, you know, 70, 80, 90 hours sometimes, just Monday through Friday, you know, I'd take a little time Saturday morning, have a cup of coffee, putt around the garage, whatever, to just ease back a little bit and enjoy a few hours off before hitting it again. I know, Bart, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. That sounds very familiar.
I mean, I had hours. I clocked out. Well, I didn't clock them, but I went back and thought, wow, that was a long week. How many hours did I work? I mean, there were weeks to put in like over 100 hours.
Yeah. I mean, not just the time working, but the background cycles while your brain is thinking about the business while you're at dinner with your wife or your
spouse. I never did that. I never thought about business.
I mean, no. Or you wake up and go use the toilet in the middle of the night and you start thinking.
And you're
about
thinking,
work.
Right, in the shower, yeah. In the, you know, all the time. But, my business was a tech company back a while ago when you actually, you know, or using the internet was not fast enough to transfer huge files. So I was delivering like hard drives to programmers and animators at like 3 and 4 in the morning, swapping them out and crazy stuff. Anyway, but we're here to talk about you and Full Contact. So tell us about Full Contact. We've got some time in this first segment to at least kind of understand what your business is about.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, we're building the world's contact management platform. But our mission is to help the world stay fully connected, master its contacts, and be awesome with people. And that's really the why, is to help people and businesses be more awesome with the people in their lives. And that's the core purpose that drives us every single day.
You mentioned the why, and you probably know my favorite author. You may know him personally, Simon Sinek, who has this famous TED Talk, Start With Why, right? You're nodding. What's your take on that?
I love that talk. It's part of my CEO onboarding talk I give every new employee about the why. Because frankly, the very early days of our business, we were engineers obsessed with the problem and solving the problem and using the neocortex to solve the problem and focusing on the what and the how. And we didn't really examine the why. And it wasn't until later that the why became very, very powerful for us when we examined why we cared so much about contacts. And it was fundamentally to be able to connect with human beings and to be awesome with human beings at scale. And that is a deeply profound realization we had as founders.
Well, now you've got 1 billion contact records?
I think it's about 2 billion
now.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you get, we'll have to talk more about this when we come back after the break, because one of the real questions I have is entrepreneurs think about starting a business and they want to, you know, they always dream big. And of course, everybody has the hockey stick graph, right? And all that. Some dream huge, like billions of contacts, and some just never get there. So I want to talk to you about what goes into thinking around that when we come back after break. If you just joined us, I've been speaking with Bart Lerang. He's the CEO of Full Contact, and this is Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. We'll be right back after this.
North Star Commercial Partners is a unique Denver-based real estate company that specializes in buying vacant and distressed properties and placing them back into productivity. North Star creates jobs and opportunities here in Colorado and across the U.S. through the revitalization of industrial office and retail spaces. By doing so, they help others realize the potential of their own companies. North Star values the opportunity to work hand-in-hand with innovators and business leaders to turn ideas into reality through creative real estate solutions. North Star Star's team connects profession with a passion to help others and serve the community. Founder and CEO Brian Watson encourages fellow entrepreneurs and business people in Colorado to do well by doing good. Learn more about the business and community work of North Star at NorthStarCommercialPartners.com and BrianWatson.us. North Star Commercial Partners, creating opportunity, empowering people, strengthening communities.
American Furniture Warehouse offers the lowest prices in town and is the best place to shop for furniture. I know my fireplace room has 2 AFW leather love seats that look great and add wonderful warmth to the room. Like I did, you can shop their beautifully displayed showrooms without pressure, then take it home today or have it delivered by their professional delivery team. I did that and really enjoyed the experience. American Furniture Warehouse strives to offer their customers the latest in fashion at the best possible pricing. American Furniture Warehouse scours the world for the lowest prices and works hard to get the best
best deals. Because they buy in volume, they can pass along those prices straight to their customers. American Furniture Warehouse believes there's nothing wrong with giving their customers a bargain, so no negotiating prices. You get the lowest prices every time. American Furniture strives to satisfy their customers and do it right the first time. They make sure their customers are informed and pleased with every purchase. Live better for less at American Furniture Warehouse. For more information or to shop online, visit AFWOnline.com. Again, that's AFWOnline.com.
Now, back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on Denver's Money Talk 1690. I'm having a great time with my guest, Bart Larang, who's the CEO of Full Contact. And when we went to the break, we were talking about how do you think at a massively huge level when you're starting a company? And we're going to continue that in just a moment. First, I want to thank our great sponsors, American Furniture Warehouse, North Star Commercial Partners, and Community Banks of Colorado. These companies are great sponsors, great supporters, because they believe in Colorado's entrepreneurial community. Hey, I'll give you a heads up, too. Brian Watson, who's the CEO of North Star Commercial Partners, is also the founder of the Opportunity Coalition. And on December 15th, there's going to be a great guest, and you're welcome to go to opportunitycoalition.com to find out more. But Thomas Fry, the senior futurist of the Da Vinci Institute, will be his guest on, again, December 15th. So check that out at Community Banks of, at theopportunitycoalition.com. Again, thanks to American Furniture Warehouse, Community Banks of Colorado, and thanks to Don in the booth. Next week, you'll want to listen to the show as well. I'll host my friend Ed Seelever of the Denver Business Journal. We're going to discuss what he sees as trends and opportunities for business in Colorado in 2017. Also, you know, how do you get a reporter to cover you? And how, what do you say when they do? And how do you make sure that what you talk about is exactly what you'd like to convey? So we're going to talk about that. Also, this will be fun too. In the same show next week, Alan Laws, who's the CEO and founder of Laws Whiskey House, is going to be on the show. And Al is a cool guy. He was a former Wall Street private equity guy who left everything behind, moved his family to Colorado to start a craft whiskey company. So we're going to talk about all of that next week. You can tune in again from 8 to 10 on 1690 AM. And, of course, you can catch this show and all other past shows via the website at probusinesscolorado.com. So back to Bart Larang of Full Contact. And you said, you corrected me because I said you had about a billion contacts. Now you've said, no, you've got 2 billion contacts within your system, right?
Yes, that's right.
And when you started your company, every entrepreneur says, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to be huge, you know, and you've got to. So what's different about your mindset that allowed you to succeed versus most entrepreneurs who just don't?
Well, I think it's really important to strike a balance between the big, hairy, audacious goal, the big vision you might have for the business, and the short-term wins. I think you need an inspiring vision to get people to join your crazy quest. But then there needs to be some sort of strategy and sequencing. So a lot of times entrepreneurs can tackle too much, try to boil the ocean all at once. Mm-hmm. We actually had a very thoughtful strategy around, we're going to tackle one piece of our business first, nail that, and scale that, then tackle another piece, nail that, and scale that. So take a very serial approach to your strategy.
So as you think about it, explain for the listeners exactly what Full Contact does at its core, and then we can go from there.
Right. So we're a unified contact management platform. So give your contacts to us. We'll unify them, sync them from all the sources, dedupe them.
Doesn't Outlook do that?
No, it absolutely doesn't. Outlook is very sort of lame when it comes to contact management. But, you know, we will sync, for example, you know, Outlook and iCloud and Gmail and, you know, all your social networks and your CRMs, and just make sure your world, your contacts just work for you. And in order to do that, we've got to have a giant referential database of all the people on the planet and understand who they are. So that's sort of a very—
What does that mean? So I'm in your database, presumably, and then in your personal database, when you've got my name in there, your software goes out, looks at who I am, and creates a referential relationship?
That's right. So we might have privately indexed all the different emails and phone numbers you might have. We keep that very, very private. But we have that data so we can actually dedupe and resolve and say, okay, this is Dave Tabor here, this is Dave Tabor here, so we can dedupe your address book very effectively.
Wow. So by subscribing to Full Contact, you're adding intelligence to my database and you're adding, you're streamlining it at the same time.
That's right. Right. That's right.
And so are your customers typically individuals or are they corporate clients?
They're both, actually. But the individuals tend to be paying customers in a work environment. So they tend to be entrepreneurs and what we call people-focused professionals in sales or, you know, sort of business development roles that really value their address book and have thousands and thousands of contacts they've accumulated in their career.
Well, and I suppose by having – once they have thousands and thousands of contacts, that really – you really need a smarter way to manage them.
That's right.
And just, so that's what you help them with.
That's right. It's untenable. And then ultimately, they start new companies and they want to leverage their network and the business.
And so this goes beyond LinkedIn as well.
That's right.
So what's the difference? If I've got all my – if I've got 1,000 contacts in LinkedIn, what are you going to add to this –
So I think portability and openness are two key differentiators. LinkedIn, their goal is to get you to use the LinkedIn UI and sort of keep this walled garden of data. We're very open. We believe that the data is yours and yours to manage and interface with all the things that you want it to work with. So try to mass mail from LinkedIn. Good luck.
So you enrich what I already have.
That's right.
So you're known, based on your bio and so forth, you're known for providing solutions that are simple and work reliably. And I've noted that you strongly believe in using technology to solve problems as opposed to using problems to demonstrate cool technology, right? So how do you manifest that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to really being empathetic with customers and what their problems actually are. I see so many computer scientists and engineers sort of, you know, forget about the customer and really just solve that person's problem is really the mantra we have at Full Contact. Like, don't worry about the technology. They don't care.
Well, you know what's interesting to me when you say that? I saw an article not long ago in the Wall Street Journal about the frustration of the new cars that are of the new cars that are being sold with these crazy screens that no one recognizes and can't figure out. And they're like, why didn't they just copy, you know, the iPhone or whatever screen that people are used to? Right? I mean, isn't that what that's about?
That's right. Like, don't reinvent the wheel if you don't have to. And I think that's an advantage, actually, being based in Colorado, is we don't get caught in the echo chamber. We actually can interface with real pragmatic folks in terms of they just need this problem solved, and we don't get caught up in the new tech capability and this new integration that nobody actually really uses.
Do you see that happening elsewhere?
Oh, yeah. Silicon Valley, particularly.
So what – to explain more.
So in the Bay Area, I see a lot of startups that are solving problems that only exist in San Francisco, right? And they're not they don't realize that there's foundational, fundamental problems that the vast majority of people on the planet still have.
So there's more power in solving one simple problem that scales to everyone than in – doing all these super complex things that may not really be relevant outside of a particular ecosystem.
That's right.
Well, now, one of your values is that you – by the way, if you've just joined us, I'm speaking with Bart Lerang of Full Contact. And one of the values that you talk about is always keep shipping. And that leads me to this notion that, you know, obviously you're always searching to improve. So how do you balance this need and this desire to constantly improve against keeping things simple?
Well, yeah. And so there's always refinement to be had, whether it's in software. I always say, how many clicks is it? How many keystrokes is it? How can we improve this? How can we make it just work? Right. Mm-hmm. And it's always just about the journey and the quest. It's Kaizen, right?
Yeah, but aren't your developers always saying, oh, we could add this feature? Or maybe you get one really passionate customer that says, can you do this? And it's tempting to go down that path. How do you balance that notion of keeping it simple, keeping it core? Is there a number? Like, will 80% of our customers want this? Will 10% of it? How do you think about it?
Yeah, well, I guess the answer is you just hire great people, right? My VP of products is from Dropbox, for example. Very, you know, classical, very simple, streamlined, just works types of application. There's always temptation to add more, but you really got to trade off how many people actually use that versus let's improve what we've already got and make it even better.
Well, now you made a comment, and Don, I'm going to ask you to play a clip here in a second. Do you have clip 40 available? Not if you do. Okay. So, because you mentioned this notion of hiring great people, and do you know a guy named Ben Horowitz? Have you heard of his book?
Sure, I've read it.
And he wrote a book, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. He's got a fantastic clip about that. Don, you're not quite ready yet? All right, we'll move on. He doesn't have those loaded. So we'll come back to that another time. Let's talk about the coverage that you've gotten. You've been covered in CBS, Fast Company, Fox News, Forbes, CNN, right? How do you do that? How does that happen?
Well, you know, I think you do something newsworthy.
Well,
is the easy answer.
But there's a lot of newsworthy people that don't get covered.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, we got covered largely for our HR policies, which are related to our core values of helping people fully connect and be awesome with people. And I think I struck a nerve several years ago around, you know, going off the grid, disconnecting, turning off your devices. As a technologist, I'm advocating for this, right?
Wow.
And it goes to, you know, the notion that people need to disconnect, go off the grid, be with their families, and take a real vacation. And in order to take that vacation, we're going to give them $7,500 to do that. And so we got a lot of press around that because I think people realized and they resonated, they empathized with the, I never leave my iPhone off. I'm getting emails all hours of the night.
Hmm.
And it really, really spoke to a lot of people's personal, like sort of struggles with that.
Yeah. Are you finding that your people are taking vacation? Do they actually go and enjoy them? And is that part of the corporate culture?
Yeah. I mean, they don't receive the $7,500 bonus if they do not go off the grid.
And do you have a way do you tell them do not check your phone?
Yeah. They have to give the money back if they check their phone.
Wow. Well, that really puts your money where your mouth is, doesn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, the enforcement is easy because the spouse or significant other usually enforces it.
Oh, that, especially if they know that it's blessed by the CEO, right?
Yeah.
So here I do want to play a clip from Ben Horowitz. Don's got that up, and he's a bit cynical about this notion. Play clip 40, please.
So I would think about it. I'd be like, okay, yeah, so like all the VCs and everybody tells me, you know, Ben, you know what the key to a great company is? You know, hire A players. And I'd be sitting there like, oh, great, because I was going to hire a bunch of f***ing idiots. And now you've unlocked the secret for me. Thank you.
So there you have it. I mean, come on. Everybody says hire great people. So what do you do specifically? Obviously, you know, what you just gave as an example of forced vacation or incented vacation, really. That's one. But what else do you think, that makes you successful in hiring great people?
Well, okay, of course you have to hire great people, and different people have different standards of what greatness is.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. I think you have to be extremely clear with your team about what's expected of them. And I think that's probably one of the biggest failures of management is not being clear with your team, right? Great. Hire a great team. But if they don't know what the goals are and they don't know what their job is or what their role is, it doesn't matter. So take it to football. Bill Belichick, right, who's not super popular around these parts, but he always has the mantra, do your job, don't worry about everybody else's job. So he's very clear about accountabilities of everybody on the team. And therefore, he obviously has a great quarterback and great players in Gronk and et cetera, but he makes sure everybody understands their role. And that's the key part of management is great people, great ingredients, clarity.
So how do you tie, because you've got this big vision of being the awesome contact software for everyone in the world or most whatever, right? I mean, sorry, I probably said it wrong. How would you say? What's your vision?
Our vision is to be the world's contact management platform.
So how do you – that's an inspiring vision. And then you tell people, and now do your job. How do you connect those?
Well, you have to break it down into very simple quarterly milestones and yearly milestones building up to that 20-year vision. Right. You make sure everybody understands where North is, but the key is the strategy of how we're going to get there. Right. And sometimes it's going to meander. Right. We haven't taken a straight line. And in that mentality, those values you instill in people of, we talk about, you know, the grind and grit and determination and understanding in our team. Mm-hmm. You don't give up. You don't quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so people, you know, are expecting a completely linear journey.
Yeah. Because it doesn't always feel inspiring when you're in the grind.
No.
Right. I mean, isn't that one of the challenges when you're asking people to work hard? And, hey, we're going to talk more with Bart Larang of Full Contact on Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation.
The Colorado Business Roundtable brings you Connect and Collaborate weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 a.m. Hear from key leaders in Colorado's business community advocating for proactive business policies that strengthen the economy and help business grow and thrive in Colorado, as well as helping to make Colorado the best place to live now and for generations to come. Connect and Collaborate weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 and Money Talk 1690.
At the Colorado Association of Commerce and Industry, we're committed to Colorado. We believe that Colorado should be the place where forward-thinking business leaders choose to innovate, invest, and grow their business. And we champion for a positive business climate to drive prosperity for all those who want to work to achieve it. If you believe as we do and want to work side by side to help Colorado thrive, join us. We're the State Chamber of Commerce. Visit us at cochamber.com.
Free enterprise, entrepreneurship, and collaboration. The Opportunity Coalition was founded by Brian Watson to encourage and facilitate these principles. The goal of Opportunity Coalition is to create opportunity, quality employment, and connect local business leaders with concerned citizens. The Opportunity Coalition strives to provide the platform, resources, and connections needed to help people succeed. Every month, Opportunity Coalition brings in speakers from the media, politics, business, and nonprofits to discuss the important issues facing in Colorado by creating a place of discussion and exchange of ideas. They connect and strengthen the business community. Past speakers have included American Furniture Warehouse CEO Jake Jabs, former U.S. Representative Bob Schaefer, and President Tom Shane of Shane Company. With exciting and innovative speakers each month, Opportunity Coalition draws some of Colorado's most innovative and driven leaders. To learn more about Opportunity Coalition or to sign up to attend their monthly events, please visit opportunitycoalition.com.
Community Banks of Colorado is proud to sponsor Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor because they too believe that everyone has a business in them. At Community Banks of Colorado, they bank with common sense. That means straight talk, personal attention, and sensible, clear directions from real people. Community Bank small business clients may be anything from farmers to bakers to medical professionals, but the one thing they all have in common is that they are determined to find the right resources they need to help their customers reach their full business potential. They offer common sense solutions that never make you feel small, no matter your size, and put all those big box banking problems behind you. Bottom line, small businesses are valued at Community Banks. To them, it's just common sense that the more you know about your customer, the better you can serve them. For more information, contact Brian Parisis at 720-872-4987. That's 720-872-4987. Or stop by one of Community Bank's many locations throughout Colorado. Community Banks of Colorado is a division of NBH Bank. Member FDIC.
Now, back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. This is a pre-recorded show, so I haven't been giving out the phone number. We're not taking callers now. You get to sit back and listen to me visit with my guest, Bart Larang, a full contact and a great, extremely well-funded startup in Colorado with a tremendous ambition and to be the world's contact.
World's Contact Management Platform.
I'm going to write that down and make sure I get it right. But it's an ambitious and amazing Colorado company, $25 million in venture funding. And in this segment, we're going to talk with Bart about what are you doing with $25 million. First, I want to again thank our great sponsors, American Furniture Warehouse, North Star Commercial Partners, and Community Banks of Colorado. Thanks to those three great supporters of Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. Hey, this show will be available on Monday via podcast at soundcloud.com/Pro Business Colorado, also straight from the website at probusinesscolorado.com. This show and some other great shows have been on that you can listen to in this growing great library. For example, recently, Rod Buescher, who's the CEO of fast-starting Blinker. You've seen their TV commercials. It's an app it's an app-based business that lets you sell your car directly to another person easier, quicker, and safer than ever before. Also had recently John Hayes, who's the CEO of Ball Corporation. People are like, well, that's not an entrepreneurial company. And in fact, it is. It was started by five brothers, and they continue, even as large as they become, they continue to be driven by purpose and passion. And John Hayes does a beautiful job explaining that. So that and many other shows are available again at soundcloud.com/ProBusinessColorado or from the ProBusinessColorado.com website. So again, we're back with Bart Larang, CEO of Full Contact, and wanted to let's talk about this notion of raising money and raising a lot of money. Tell us the story about how you went from this concept where you actually started looking for big money to do big things.
Well, I started the business in 2010 and self-funded it. And when I started raising capital, it was a grind.
You self-funded it with how much money?
You know, probably 100, 150K, mm-hmm. something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a blog post called 126 No's and One Big Yes. Ha. And if you Google that, you can find it. But it's the story of how I literally got 126 rejections before Brad Feld at Founder Group agreed to fund our startup.
Wow.
And it was
126 rejections.
That's right. I had so many, well, this is a feature. It's not really a product or a business. I had, hey, move to San Francisco. We'll fund you. But stubbornly, I stayed in Colorado.
Hey, good for you.
You know, had a lot of just, it was a grind. It was hard.
Why did you stay in Colorado when you could have gotten funding by going to San Francisco?
Well, I'm stubborn and I wanted to live in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, okay.
And, you know, I don't want to live in San Francisco or the Bay Area.
There's a great book that you made me think of. Have you heard of a guy named Zha Zhang who wrote a book called Rejection Proof, How to Beat Fear and Become Invincible?
I have not.
Okay. It's for somebody who's looking for funding. In fact, hey, Don, there's a clip I'd love you to play, number 71, and I'd like Bart's take on that.
Turning rejection into a positive requires courage. It requires looking rejection in the face and seeing it for what it really is. An experience that can either hurt you or help you, depending on how you look at it. The difference is attitude. By default, rejection is painful. If you treat it as a setback, a soul crusher, or a reason to quit, then that's what it will be. But if you can find the courage to step back and look at it differently, what you'll find is remarkable, because what you'll find is that there is no bad rejection anymore.
Come on, is that true? When after you've taken 100 no's, can you really think about rejection that way?
Yes, I believe so, because I had to. so that triggers a whole bunch of thoughts and reactions in my mind. I mean, the main one is that most entrepreneurs' sense of self is wound up in their venture. Mm-hmm. And so rejecting the venture or rejecting them attacks their self-esteem. It threatens their survival instinct and causes them to be defensive or shut down or cause mm-hmm. them to fight or flight.
Certainly
observing
not,
that.
Certainly not have the outward sense of confidence that you need to inspire any investment, right?
Right. So being able to just examine that from a distance and not take it personally is really, really important skill. And fortunately, you know, I've had a sales background as well, so I'm used to getting rejected.
Yeah, but 126 times in a row, that's pretty extreme.
It is extreme. But I think it helped me because I just examined, I learned from every time, right? I mean, look, Edison said, I didn't fail 10,000 times. I learned 10,000 ways it wasn't going to work.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I think about that though, and I think about, okay, 126 no's, after each time, did you actually go back to your pitch deck or go back to your concept? How many times did you take no as constructive way to fix what you were doing versus just move on?
Every single time. However, there were a few that just were unresponsive, and some of those investors, mm-hmm. well, I don't look kindly upon
them. Yeah, yeah. Wow. So, all right, let's talk about – I'm going to shift gears a little bit because I'm really interested in how you – spend $26 million.
Well, it's $25
million. $25 million.
But we have raised about, you know, $48 wow. million to date. So $25 million, how do I spend it? Well, we have a few strategic plans. One is sort of expanding our capability for consumers up the stack into businesses and teams. We just launched our Full Contact for Teams beta, and that's really saying, hey, you know, as a team, I need to collaborate and share contacts with mm-hmm. each other and have mm-hmm. it just work
yep.
and not have a double entry CRM silo.
Right, right.
I just want it to work. So we're expanding to that venue. Mm-hmm. In addition, we're really growing our big network of enterprises and developers and users that use our product.
Well, as you start small, you know, it's easy to envision, okay, how you're going to use 5 developers. But how do you envision using – how do you know whether you need 80 developers or 110 developers as you're, you know, I mean, you're smiling, but how do you know this stuff?
Well, that's the job of product management to understand it. And fortunately, customers are not shy about telling us what they want.
Yep.
So the roadmap starts to build itself.
How long did it take you to build the first shippable product to test it, beta and all that?
I would say the very first one was about 6 months till public beta with 2 developers.
Right, because that was the money you had,
yes,
right?
That's right.
So you're putting your faith in you. And were those 2 developers in the game with you, or did you just pay them straight out and that was it?
One was contract and one was shareholder. Yes.
Yeah. So that makes sense. And I'm still intrigued because when I had my company, I had 25 employees. That was it. That's where it started with me, but then 25. I don't know what it's like to spend $25 million to develop something, or $50 million as you're going, right?
Yeah. And a big chunk of it goes to sales and marketing, right? In terms of customer acquisition and user acquisition. And that's probably the fastest growth area of our employment. Once you get a certain scale, adding more developers doesn't actually speed things up. It can slow things down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now it's more around go to market than it actually is, more product capability.
And now that you've been at this for a while, you're sort of wiser, experienced, and I noticed in your background that you like to mentor other entrepreneurs. And one of the comments you made is you tell a story about reaching out to a first-time CEO to offer a helping hand or just someone to talk to, and he dismissed you. I'm reading this confident he knew exactly what he was doing. And it says in your blog that you were disappointed that you've been leading companies your whole adult life. And then the final comment, all I learn every single day is how much I still have to learn.
That's right.
So is that really what you have to learn, or are you sort of just developing more and greater judgment based on experience?
Well, I think you just realize how much you don't know. And knowing what you don't know is really important skill.
Yeah, but don't your employees expect you to have the answers?
No. I think that I try to lead through vulnerability, and when I don't have the answer, I tell them, and I'm open about that. I say, I don't have the answers. Let's figure this out together.
What does lead through vulnerability mean? That's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I've never heard that phrase.
I think we have this notion that the leader needs to be strong and tough and knows all the answers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I reject that. I say it's okay to open up and tell your team, I don't know, because the instinct of the team is not to attack you or reject you, it's to embrace you, to help you.
But that only works, what comes to mind when you say that is that it only works when you have a strong, clear vision, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if everybody's on the path to go to the same place, it's probably okay to say, I don't know how to get there without your input. It's probably not okay to say, I don't know where we're going.
That's right.
But hey, I'm speaking with Bart Lerang of Full Contact on Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Dave Tabor for American Furniture Warehouse. I'm a big fan of AFW. I'm a fan because I've gotten to know them well, really well. Jake has built AFW to be a company all of us in Colorado can be proud of. He started it by buying out a dying little store and turned it into Colorado's largest family-owned company with thousands of employees and tens of thousands of customers. And guess what? He's done it the old-fashioned way, by treating customers and employees right. I've seen how Jake operates. Once, when a worker slipped in a wet shipping bay, Jake invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to install better weatherproofing collars around all the shipping doors so it wouldn't happen again. AFW has its own physical therapy center so that workers can stay healthy, and if someone does get hurt, he or she can be treated immediately by qualified professionals. AFW drivers are incentivized to deliver furniture on time and without damage, and when they do, they earn a lot more than typical drivers. All that and great products at low prices. AFW runs a tremendous business we can all be proud of. I hope you'll shop there as I do.
Here in Colorado, innovation and market solutions drive our economy and make this a great place to live and work. North Star Commercial Partners specializes in turning distressed and vacant properties back into productive spaces. North Star works with businesses and organizations in Colorado and across the U.S. to help realize their dreams of a vibrant and innovative workplace. By helping others, North Star Commercial Partners combines their passion and expertise in real estate with a passion to serve our community. Entrepreneurs drive our economy forward. And by empowering them with the space they need, North Star helps entrepreneurs drive their next great idea. Founder and CEO Brian Watson encourages our business community to improve the lives of others by meeting their needs. Learn more about the business and community work of North Star at NorthStarCommercialPartners.com and BrianWatson.us. North Star Commercial Partners, creating opportunity, empowering people, strengthening communities.
Now, back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Welcome back to Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor on Denver's Money Talk 1690. I haven't been giving out the phone number because this is a pre-recorded show. Just relax, enjoy your Saturday morning with me, Dave Tabor on Pro Business Colorado. And I've been speaking with Bart Lerang of Full Contact. Bart, thanks again for joining me. This is our last segment together, and Bart's company, Full Contact, has really changed his industry, and he's had huge success attracting many millions of dollars in venture funding, attracting great attention through a dynamic corporate culture that I think is worth talking about. We're going to continue to talk about this notion of leading through vulnerability. We talked about that in the last segment. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. In fact, Bart said during the break that he had just come back from speaking in Europe about this.
Yes.
So right. It's an interesting conversation. We're going to continue that after I thank my sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado, and North Star Commercial Partners, certainly American Furniture Warehouse. All three of these companies, great Colorado businesses. Their leaders care a great deal about Colorado's entrepreneurial community, and I appreciate them very much. Again, next week, want to remind you that my guests will include Ed Sealover of the Denver Business Journal. Also, Alan Laws of Laws Whiskey House. Those will be great conversations, and I think you'll enjoy, especially this notion of, talk about patience and sort of a different kind of business from what Full Contact is, which is like get a bunch of millions of dollars and run. Alan Laws talks about running a marathon at 15-minute miles. I mean, you cannot speed the aging process for whiskey. So a different kind of a thing. It'll be fun to talk with Alan. And but let's continue the conversation with Bart Lerang of Full Contact. And we were talking, you used this phrase I'd never heard called leading through vulnerability. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit more because you gave a speech about it. What was the gist of that in your, I mean, a whole speech?
Yeah. Well, the whole gist is that your emotional being, your emotional self is really what's running the show most of the time. And understanding the lizard brain or the limbic brain and how mm-hmm. it's processing information, and then being able to set that aside and say, well, that's an interesting emotion. That's anger. That's fear. That's sadness. And you've been an entrepreneur. You know you go through that literally hour by hour.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Right? And so understanding that and saying, hey, guys, that made me angry. Here's why, and unpacking that and actually talking about why that made you angry with your team, or why that made you excited, or whatever the emotion is really powerful. And it's really amazing to actually lead with sort of this open heart. I'm doing the symbol, sort of the warrior mm-hmm. pose, which mm-hmm. is open heart, strong back, and being vulnerable with people has a better response than being closed off.
In some ways, you know, it's kind of an irony that people who are closed off and refuse to be vulnerable are actually perceived often as weaker.
That's right.
Than people who are willing to expose themselves to others. I think it seems like the key, though, is to have a shared value around that, so that people understand that this is how. I mean, I would think that as a former entrepreneur, I had people that would have embraced that, and had other people that I don't think would have embraced it.
That's right.
I mean, you have to develop a team, don't you, of people that are consistent along that kind of behavioral spectrum.
Yeah, that's
right?
Absolutely right. And that's a core value of ours. And, you know, I've had to jettison folks that don't share that value because it's not comfortable for people.
I mean, this is a tough talent market.
Yeah.
And so I could see where you'd have to decide, do we get rid of this top developer, really top talent technologically, who doesn't get our values?
Yeah, I make that decision 100 times out of 100, get rid of him or her. Because what you have to do, you have to craft your cultural values so that you look like you're from Mars. It will the market's big enough, will attract people, mm-hmm. all right? Mm-hmm. But make sure it's differentiated. If you just have a vanilla, it mm-hmm. won't work. You won't differentiate yourself.
You know,
at
it's
all.
So funny. The idea of putting foosballs into an office or coffee machines or whatever the case, cappuccino machines, what you're illustrating, I mean, this notion of having a culture that looks like Mars, what you're really saying is clearly defining the kinds of people that fit here.
That's right. And be okay with that.
Yeah.
And be okay that not everybody's going to fit there.
Yep.
Just like not everybody's your customer. Just like it's a marketing message.
Yeah.
Right?
But you're marketing now to people, that becomes your talent, your team.
That's right. And you want people that really fit it and really get it, and people that have different views, you know, the organism will reject them.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
In fact, that's preferred, isn't it?
That's preferred, yeah.
Speaking with Bart Lerang of Full Contact, he's the CEO of Full Contact, very successful venture capitalized company here in Colorado. It's funny you mentioned some of the stars, the rock stars of the venture capital world. And you mentioned Brad Feld, you mentioned Marks. And, of course, I noticed on your website that the images, the sample images include them. Is there some reason for that?
I don't know. That's
a
product decision.
Is that an homage to them?
It might be. My product and marketing team, I think they're just trying to find images of folks that they know they could use. I don't have any say in that. I just don't.
All right.
I'm hands off.
I thought that was kind of funny. I'm like, oh, is this how you stroke your investors? I don't know. Yeah. So, you're very upfront about your values as well, and you list several of them. Being customer focused, you know, hell, everybody says they're customer focused. So come on, when you say customer focused to your team, does that mean something different than just saying you're customer focused?
No, I mean, I've replaced that internally with be awesome with customers,
which aligns
with our be awesome with people.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because different people have different definitions of what awesome is, but you can definitely define not awesome. You know it when you see it.
You can. It's like that old statement about pornography.
You know it when
you see it. Yeah. But, you know, you've even got some I noted on your website that you've got a title in your company called Customer Service Advocate. Mm. And to me, that's really cool. I mean, they know their job is to put through that title, if they live it, is to put the customer ahead of the company.
That's right. Yeah, exactly right. And the Customer Success Advocate is actually at the top of our org chart. So customers
really?
Are at the very top of our org chart, then it's customer success, then it's everybody else. I'm actually at the bottom supporting, and the board of directors is below me.
Now, we see that. I mean, come on. That happened in the 80s where the org charts were turned upside down, right? Blah, blah, blah. It was all crap. So in your case, I get the sense that it's not all crap, right? How do you communicate that, though, differently so that your people are actually driving an agenda that supports customers?
Well, I think
Can you think of an example where one of your customer service advocates was wanting something and maybe a hotshot tech person said, we're not doing that way, or some example where you actually had to live that?
Yeah. I mean, I think one just happened last week where we had a particular issue that customer success was screaming about, saying, hey, we got to fix this. And product engineering kind of pushed back. And they just called in they called me in and said, hey, we need to fix this. And I said, guys, look at this. And they fixed it, right? So we have lots of examples where they do have the firepower. You got to back them up with the appropriate firepower to make sure that they really think about the customer.
And all right, I'm going to shift gears back to this venture capital thing because it's intriguing to me. And there are a lot of people, I think, that think that venture capital is sort of the holy grail. And part of me thinks it's because they believe that it will actually enable their company to succeed. Others, it's almost like a metric that says, okay, we're validated by getting venture. What's your take on that?
Well, look, I've bootstrapped, I've raised capital, and it will not make your company succeed. It's a vanity metric. It's basically saying, wow, we sold a bunch of stock. It's an accelerant of a business. There are certain businesses like ours, which I do not believe we could have bootstrapped, just given what the scale we had to achieve.
Yeah, there's just too much work to be done.
Yeah.
Right, to bootstrap. I mean, at some point.
But I mean, I look at companies and I say, when's the last time you raised capital? And if it's many, many years, that's awesome, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a shifting trend in the market in the last year or two saying, well, you know what? We're going to get cash flow positive. And we're going to get off the heroin and we're going to get off the drug because people just sort of consume this easy, relatively easy capital versus solving customers' problems, extracting money from customers.
Well, and ultimately, Don, I want to play a clip in a second here. If you can get ready with clip 56, ultimately, the true validation is whether a customer will pay for it.
That's right.
At a price at which you can make a profit, right?
That's right.
So I want to talk with you about that. There's a great clip by Mark Cuban, number 56. Go ahead. Oh, you don't have 50? All right. So he talks about the notion that you don't need money, you need effort. And he's really passionate about that. And here's a guy that's worth gazillions, and he's saying it's more about effort than about money. And that's kind of
that's right. It totally is, right? I mean, you know, I've seen effort make up for lack of capital in so many ways, and I've seen creative problem solving. I've seen teamwork trump money. Yeah. You can throw money at problems. I mean, you talked about the last election, right? And I don't, you know, not to go there, but
yep.
Hillary Clinton raised a lot of money and tried to push it in the market. It didn't take.
Yep, yep. Well, and one of the things that we talked about in the last show around the difference is one of them had a compelling vision. Which many people abhorred. At the same time, it was really well defined and very compelling, this notion of why.
Simple.
Yeah.
It touched the lizard brain.
It did. Well, and see, you know, if for those, I'm speaking with Bart Lerang of Full Contact, and this lizard brain notion, if you haven't read Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, he talks a lot about that, a lot. And in fact, he talks about the notion of appealing to it. You know who else does? Do you ever seen a book of by Oren Claff and called Pitch Anything? And he's remarkable at talking about, you know, in a sales process that facts only stymie a sale. That you have to like pitch the big idea and excite people, excite their brains, right, to get them to buy. What's your sales process look like?
Well, we have a very regimented sales process. And I would like to say that it's all emotional based, but selling to corporations, they do have some safeguards in place to prevent the emotional sale.
Isn't that terrible? You could be awesome at selling and they don't want
to
hear it.
I would say our marketing message to individuals is much more emotive than our business pitches.
So what do you do about that? I mean, who's buying? Who do you sell to in a company?
So in,
are these like IT people?
So in a business, no, it's usually marketing folks or people-focused professionals, like marketing, sales, customer service.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or in our developer partner segment, product managers that incorporate full contact capabilities that are dealing with people data.
Yeah.
Right.
So these are people whose livelihoods probably depend on their ability to make and enrich contacts.
That's
probably
right.
Not the IT guys as much, maybe.
No.
We got a couple of minutes left here, and I want to talk about some of the lessons maybe you've learned along the way. And it's most fun to talk. I had a very successful uncle who had a great line. He's because I worked for him, and I made a mistake. I said, "Wow, I learned it. I learned a lesson from that one." He goes, "No, you didn't. You don't learn it until you get it right the next time." So, and I've repeated that many, many times to people I work with, to my family, to my kids especially. So, what do you think you learned the hard way that you started to do right?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think I've learned that you can't just that hiring is about the sort of next 18 months or 24 months. And I think I probably over indexed on experience or resume at different scales of the business.
Yeah.
I've learned to say, you know what? I just need this person for 18 months or 24 months. Let's agree to, you know, what we both want to get out of the transaction.
Really?
For that period of time. That's
now,
right.
That seems completely at odds with this notion of vision and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the point is in this society we live on, people are very quick to change jobs and change loyalties. And if I hire the public company, let's say, you know, chief marketing officer or something like that versus, you know what, I need a CMO that serves me right now.
Cool. Well, thank you. It's been a fun conversation to have with Bart Lerang. He's the CEO of Full Contact, a contact management platform that's raised $25 million in venture capital and is exploding with success. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm glad you're here, Bart. And stick around because in the next portion, Jim Park, who's the CEO of the world famous OtterBox Cell Company, is going to be joining me in that segment. This started in a garage. We're going to talk about growth. We're going to talk about managing a global business. Stick around. Pro Business Colorado with Dave Tabor. Back after this.
KDMT Arvada Denver. We're all about money. Denver's all new. 1690 AM.